The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Rock, rock, rockin' the cold. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' the cold. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' the cold. But once she grabs, she won't let go.
Hell no.
Rock, rock, rockin' the cold. Rock, rock, rockin' the cold.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock, rockin' the cold.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rockin' the cold.
Just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rockin' the cold.
What do you think?
Just I like love that. It. That was great. Thank you.
Let's rock.
Republicans are freaking out about Miss Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Since it appears that she leans left, they're panicking and miffed. They say that she's a psyop plant, an agent of the Dems. I'd only be that paranoid if I was one of them. Republicans, that is. They say Taylor's satanic.
Oh.
She'll warp our children's minds.
Taylor?
But folks as warped as Trumpers would be really hard to find.
True that.
If kids listen to Taylor, they will grow up normally, I guess. But listening to Trump will make them just a freaking mess.
Well, there's that.
There's where the real danger is.
There is where the real danger is. Thank you, Mangy Fetlocks. Also known as Bruce W. Nelson. Actually, we're going to start today with kind of a twofer, if you will, because I realize it's been a while since we've heard from our pals across the pond, you know, the Marsh family. And we need to keep up with them every now and then because these kids are growing like weeds and pretty soon we're not going to recognize them. So here's the thing, you know, I know we're very America-centric here. But, you know, makes good sense where the show is based in the U.S. And the Marsh family often does songs about the American situation. I mean, really, they've given us a lot of stuff about Trump. But I also appreciate the fact that they keep us informed about what's happening over in England, over in the U.K., with the politics there. So I am going to share with you their latest song because we can, we have time. It's kind of as jam-packed as yesterday was with news. Today, not so much. You know, no fireworks up on Capitol Hill. And so we've got a few minutes. We do have Howie Klein coming up, and he's bringing with us one of the Blue America endorsed candidates, a guy from Ohio's 12th district, I believe, or who's running to represent Ohio's 12th district in Congress. You'll meet him in a little while. His name is Jared Christian. And it's funny because his website is Christian for Ohio. So you might think that, he's a Republican, because who else would tout their religion in their URL? That just happens to be his name. So anyway, we'll hold that thought. We'll come back to it. But let's turn an eye to England, where we've learned that the prime minister there, after a series of missteps, is a guy named Rishi Sunak. I just reported. I don't make it up. Rishi Sunak. Or Rishi Sunak, sorry, that's his name, Rishi Sunak. The jury's still out, let's put it that way. But he does have a challenger, sort of. The leader of the opposition is Sir Keir Starmer. So I honestly don't know a whole lot about Mr. Starmer. So let's learn about Mr. Starmer in song, shall we? Take it away, Marsh family. It's Starmer.
Three, four, Except for staying down in all the clothes, not a lot of cred. And it's all raised, it seems to fade. Still had that slow voice and a careful turn of phrase. There were some cliches that were vexing Corbin Knight.
Key has stopped, waiting for his drive. He'd like pledges, but he might just change his mind.
He is stars racing pretty high. He's worried that he'll blow it, so he fences for a while to simply let the Tories lose it. SNP abuse it.
Get all the Lib Dems MP.
You know, to those of you who just are hearing the audio, because, you know, we stream audio to the Progressive Voices Network, to Netroots Radio and Air Progressive and a bunch of other online radio stations. So it's audio only. So you're not seeing the video. The Marsh family, it's just, they're a family. It's the mother and father, Ben and Danielle, and the four kids who we've watched grow up to where they're all young adults now. And they play, first of all, great rendition, even if it is a parody, of David Bowie's Starman, singing about Starmer. And they educate us. So let me tell you, before I tell you who was playing what, here's what they wrote on their YouTube channel, which, by the way, is Marsh Family. It's youtube.com/@MarshFamily. So they wrote, the iconic Starman was a lead single recorded and released in 1972 on the late great David Bowie's album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. Though it was actually a late addition to the album, the idea was a message of hope coming to Earth's youth from an alien. They continue, "We don't know where a message of hope is coming from these days. And as the lyrics suggest, there certainly hasn't really been one fully mapped out yet by the Labour Party, who are currently leading in the UK polls in a general election year. In fact, we don't even know when the general election is going to be, but we're hoping both parties don't wallow in a cesspit of negative messaging and actually put forward a vision for the future that is more than platitudes or self-evident cliches. Hoping, but not expecting." So good, right? That's great. And I love that Ben and Danielle Marsh educate their children in this manner. They're teaching them to be good citizens, to learn about who's governing or not the nation and what the issues are. But they also have that side of silliness, because then they write, "The other inspiration behind this song is the flight of the Concords, Bowie's in space, which was essential listening as the kids grew up, and," quote, "pointy nipple antennae remains a household phrase." Check it out if you haven't. I'm not familiar with that song, to be honest, but Flight of the Concords, very offbeat funny. So there you have it, the Marsh family. And so in case you are wondering, again, those of you listening to audio only, they were not playing to a recorded track. The family is just musically talented. So we had the youngest daughter... Now I feel bad. I'm blanking on their names. The youngest daughter playing violin, the older daughter playing trumpet, the younger son playing drums, the older son playing bass, dad playing guitar, mom singing and harmonizing. They are so talented. Anyway, we haven't heard from the Marsh family in a while, and I just thought it was time. And that they just did a great job on that song, so I wanted to share that with you, right? All right, so anyway, yeah, see, Chris in the chat room said, "I love that show. Flight of the Concords, if you haven't seen it, it's good, you know, for late night altered consciousness kind of viewing. Silly fun, but definitely fun. Speaking of Chris... Chris is our resident UPS driver, and they avoided a strike last year in the year of the labor here in the U.S. And now UPS management is laying off something like 12,000 employees because they said of rising labor costs. Oh, come on, man.
Come on, man.
You know, God, you can't win for losing. Chris, I hope you're okay. I hope you're okay. So anyway, he was extradited to Florida. I'm looking at, Spocko is holding court in the chat room talking about somebody who was extradited to Florida. Police say he made threats throughout the country. I don't know who he's talking about. But I guess I'll find out later. See, this is what I get sucked into the chat. I shouldn't look over there. I should look over here and tell you what's going on. So Howie Klein will be along in about 15 minutes or so, and he's bringing with him, I told you, Jared Christian from, as he describes it, the Appalachian part of Ohio. So they'll both be on the phone because Howie hates Zoom, and Jared is apparently driving, quote, to the outer edge of his district, and again, Howie's words, in the middle of Magadonia. So that's good to know. So they're coming up in a few minutes. A little postscript to our show on Monday. You know, we were visited by Jonathan Larson, who has rebooted his newsletter. It's now a Substack, and it's called The Fucking News. Yeah, I warn you that we curse around here. Sorry. It's, you know, we speak like humans do. And one of the stories that Jonathan has really been honing in on, it's sort of a pet issue of his, is the National Prayer Breakfast. Well, you may not know, but the National Prayer Breakfast was this morning. And when Jonathan was on with us on Monday, he still didn't know where it was going to be held. but they've been working towards moving it into the Capitol. Now, again, the United States of America, we have something enshrined in the Constitution, the separation of church and state. But we have this event every year, and every president has attended this stupid national prayer breakfast since Eisenhower. And to make matters worse, this year, today, it was in Statuary Hall. That's the big room in the Capitol with, as the name would suggest, all the statues around it. It's where we saw the January 6th insurrectionists defiling the Capitol. So let me just read to you from Jonathan Larson's The Fucking News Substack email this morning. And the headline is Theocracy Makes It Into the Capitol Legally. He writes, as I reported last night, Speaker Mike Johnson has allowed today's national prayer breakfast to take place inside the U.S. Capitol building in historic Statuary Hall, where literally none of the founding fathers wanted it because they prayed in private and or B were deists, and mostly because C, if they had wanted a prayer breakfast there, they would have founding fathered one there. In addition to it being a symbolic poop taking on the First Amendment, it's worth noting that the event is being run by a private nonprofit with mucho connections to the controversial, coup-loving Fellowship Foundation, also known as the Family, that has broken its pledge to reveal at least something about who's funding it, and that has a long history of using this event for its own, I want to say, nefarious purposes. Again, I'm reading in the voice of Jonathan Larson, who will be back here on Monday for a postscript. He's gonna do a Monday fucking news segment with us weekly for the foreseeable future anyway. He continues. He writes that Representative Jared Huffman, Democrat of California, chairs the Free Thought Caucus and told me he sees this as yet another incursion by far-right religious extremists into secular government. I'm paraphrasing. If you want his exact quotes, go read my story, and there's a link to his story, and you should subscribe to thefuckingnews.substack.com. You can get the free version and the link to the story. And then he wrote, appropriately, this historic breach of the separation of church and state came on the same day that Congress missed a deadline to approve a plaque commemorating law enforcement for trying to keep anti-American theocrats out of the Capitol on January 6, 2021. So I guess I should whip this out again.
Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
Yeah, we live in opposite world. All right. Howie, you'll be along in about 10 minutes, but let me tell you a few other news tidbits from what's going on today, because there is some other stuff. And in fact, the House actually did something last night. They passed a bipartisan tax package that would expand the child tax credit and revive, of course, business tax breaks. And the vote, 357 to 70. That's bipartisan, right? But, you know, it likely will not work. It won't pass the Senate. Why? Because you got people like Grandpa Chuck Grassley. I know. Look, I don't make fun of people's age, but when they're doddering, I'm sorry, Chuck Grassley needs to go home. He just does. So he's scoffed at this bill that would help kids bring back the child tax credit. You know why? Because, quote, it would make Biden look good. This is the same reason that the House Republicans are tanking this border deal. The Senate came to a deal on it. I'm guessing Chuck Grassley was not in the group that said, yeah, let's do this. This is a good idea. Because, you know, Chuck Grassley. But, you know, it's the same thing that Speaker Meeker Mike Little Johnson is doing. And it's not just him, really. We know by now. It's the speaker whisperer. It's the orange guy telling Mike Johnson, you can't let that bill go through. I know we've been screaming about border security the whole time that Joe Biden's been in the office, but we can't let him have a win. We need this issue. And that's why you'll notice that the Republicans aren't screaming about our bad economy anymore. You know why? Because it ain't bad. Because it's good. You had Jay Powell yesterday, the chair of the Fed, who, by the way, is no friend of this administration. He might be. I don't know. He's supposed to be apolitical. He certainly does not work for Joe Biden. He's not part of this administration. He works sort of. Look who's there. Robert in Naples. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Oh, no. So he couldn't. Can you hear me, Robert?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
You can hear me.
I hello. Well, sort of. Hello.
Yeah, I'm on a road that's got bad signals over
so,
here.
So that's when you call me. So you call me from a road that has a bad signal?
Yeah, I lose the internet signal, so I got to hear what you're saying. So I figure I call and listen.
Well, I can put you on hold. Yeah, right.
I called because I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You're having this discussion about like Grassley, and you know the Congress not passing something that's waiting for them.
Yeah.
Since the Congress is so razor thin, and you do have Republicans like that. I saw that this guy Crenshaw, he's a gentleman with the patch.
Right.
And he's all for this bill.
Wait. Be careful how you use the word gentleman. It's like when I see somebody on TV talk about some hardened criminal and say the gentleman. He's not a gentleman. Dan Crenshaw's not a gentleman. Yes, thank you. That
works. You're welcome.
Okay. I'm sorry. Continue.
All right. Now, my point is this, Nicole. Why can't they just take this guy aside, the Democrats, and say, listen, we got 213 votes. We need we need you to find 5 more people that think like you, and we'll make you the Speaker of the House. I mean, and then we'll get this done, and we'll help you.
Who knows?
Who
knows? Look, Mike Johnson is not going to be long for this world because they still have that provision in their rules, thanks to Matt Gaetz, that if a small minority of the ultra right wing nut jobs in the House don't like what you're doing, they can introduce a motion to vacate the chair, and they can have him removed. 8 of them did it to McCarthy.
Nicole, I'm saying, put in Crenshaw, and promise him the 200 votes, 213 votes that the Democrats have to say, hey, you lead. I mean, if they can vacate, it's exclusively to Republicans who could vote to vacate. You know, if we have the votes, if we can get this guy Crenshaw and him find 5 to 10 people that agree with him.
But Crenshaw's no better. Crenshaw is just like one of them, although I guess he's saying the right things about the border security bill. So what, are we going to replace the speaker every time they won't vote for something that's in their best interest?
Nicole, my really, the border, I'm not really concerned about. I'm more concerned about Israel and the Ukraine. I want them to have what they need to fight and defend themselves. You know, and that's what these Republicans are stopping. And in the essence, you know.
Yep. You know, I hear you. Something happened today. Something happened today, and I think I have a grasp of what happened. So the Biden administration made a deal with Greece and said, okay, Greece, we're going to send you this aid that you don't really need, but we're going to send it to you, and then you're going to take that and then turn around and send your what you already have to Ukraine. So it's a way for us to get aid to Ukraine without sending it directly to Ukraine. So there are ways that shit gets done.
And then, Nicole, I read a lot of Italian newspapers, and apparently Europe is on board. They're giving $50 billion. Yes. They were able to get Hungary out of the way, and they're going to allocate some money to the Ukraine. And that happened today.
Yeah.
I had another thing, but I'm going to let you go because I can't think right now as I drive.
Okay, well, it's nice to hear from you. As I told you.
It's a pleasure to hear from you.
When I texted you, we had a listener. I had a listener emailed me last week and said, have you heard from Robert Naples? I haven't heard him on any of the shows. I hope he's okay. So I texted you and you responded. And someone else in the chat room just said, I was wondering about him the other day. So people are wondering where you are. So it's good to know you're okay.
I appreciate it, and all the sentiments are beautiful. It warms the cockles of my heart. And it, I mean that. It's really nice to hear that people actually think about you and hear about you. And you know what that's like. Tell everybody I love them. That's all, and we're doing fine. And I have to step back. You can't. I mean, God bless you for doing what you do because you're 24/7 into it. I got to walk away from it. Otherwise, I'll hit people.
Tell me about it. What do you think? I spend so much time creating art, if you can call it that. Yeah, it's an escape from this. All right, Robert. Good to hear from you. I'm glad you're well.
Good to hear you
stay
too.
Safe there in Florida.
Okay. Enjoy Arizona.
Thank you. Yes, I'm liking Arizona, but I've got a little problem with Arizona right now, and the problem is coming from California because California has some bad weather coming. I guess it's already started, according to some friends in the chat room. There, it's atmospheric river again, as if San Diego didn't flood enough last week, or what was it, the week before. It's not nice. Here, a potent pair is what they're called. Two of them. It's one atmospheric river after another one. So here's the official story. A potent pair of atmospheric rivers is lashing California with heavy rain and strong winds. More than 20 million people across the state are under flood alerts today, as storms threaten flash flooding in cities including San Diego, Sacramento, San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. That's a lot of territory. In between San Diego and San Francisco, is everything in the middle there? What about Los Angeles? Forecasts show rain up to 4 inches is possible in the coming days and could fall at rates that could exceed an inch per hour. Whoa. Then on Sunday, a second atmospheric river is poised to stall over the southern part of the state in what could become the, quote, get ready, largest storm of the season. This is from the National Weather Service. More than 400 personnel have been pre-positioned across 16 counties in California to respond when needed. Great. And so we're here in Arizona, and we'll get the remnants. We'll get the after effects. But it'll be enough to make things not perfect here. The weather in the last week here in Arizona has been postcard perfect. It's been perfect. It's been so nice out. And the air is so clean. You can see the mountains from the street. It's just beautiful. So my daughter is coming to town next week. She flies in Wednesday night, and it's supposed to be really bad weather. Really bad weather. We're actually going down to Tucson for the Gem and Mineral Show. Thus, you will hear best of shows. So let me tell you what I pulled together. So because we have Marcy Wheeler tomorrow, but we won't be here next Friday. So what I did is I went back through my archives and I found her very first appearance on the show. And it was from 2011. So we're going back, 12 years, a dozen years or so. And we had been at an event together in Washington, D.C., and we went lobbying members of Congress together, and we had a kind of an experience, and that's when we became friends. And so I thought maybe next Friday we'd play that first Marcy Wheeler appearance on the show. Just an idea. If you have thoughts for what you know, Melanie, lay down. Yeah, that Melanie died last week. And I got to interview her a couple of years ago, and she was just wonderful and just charming. And so we'll play that one back. So if you have a request for something that you would like to hear in the week, so I'll be off, I'll be here tomorrow, Friday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And then I'll be off Thursday and Friday, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and back the following Thursday. So if you have a request for a show you would like to hear repeated, send me an email, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. I'm giving away secrets. Stop giving away secrets. Stop giving our secrets. Oh, sorry. Charlene doesn't want more people coming to Arizona. All right, I'll shut up now because it's time for a Dirty Debbie.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yo, Howie Klein.
Yo, Nicole.
How you doing? You staying dry out there?
Yeah, well, I'm going outside, and there aren't many leaks right now. So, yeah, I'm staying dry.
But outside.
I was just on the phone for like an hour.
Yeah.
So I hope this phone that you call me on isn't going to run out of battery. But I did an interview, I was part of a group that was doing an interview with Jamie McLeod Skinner, who's one of the Blue America candidates. And it went on and it went on. And then after it was done, the group wanted to talk amongst each other. So anyway, I may sound.
Uh-oh.
Probably do.
And you just cut out. It sounds like your call waiting kicked in, like somebody was trying to call you.
It's spam.
Oh, it's spam. You know, God, we could do a whole show on that, but we won't right now because we have a guest coming up. I just thought I'd touch base with you first and, you know, see how the weather's treating you because it looks like it's going to be really bad over the next few days out there.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's some Pineapple Express or something. Yeah. Roland keeps talking about it. I don't know what the hell it is.
It's the Pineapple Express and a double atmospheric river. You got the one that's there today, and then you have another one coming through on Sunday.
Thanks.
So you got that to look forward to. All right. Yeah. So tell us about who you're bringing us today, and I'll try to get Jared on the line while you're telling us a little bit about him.
Okay, so Jared Christian is a candidate that Blue America endorsed, and I thought it might be interesting to have him on because he's running in a very, very difficult district. So not a purple district or a blue district, but in a red district. And I thought it might be interesting to talk with him, you know, how it's possible to even run in such a tough situation where Trump did really well, where the Republican incumbent really well. And so Jared, you on?
No, he's not on yet. Hold on one second. I got to bring you down so I can dial the number because it's going out over the air. And I don't want, you know, people will take the tones and you know.
I hear a lot of like pinging sounds.
Yeah, hold on once. Oh, and I muted myself.
But no people.
Now I need to unmute myself. Okay, let's see if I can make this work. All right, let's, I'm trying to No, that's not it. I'm trying to conference him with us. Why is this not working? You know what? I'm going to have to bring him up on a different line. I'll tell you what, Howie. Let me do this. We're going to try it differently.
So you do that, and I'll talk some more about Jared.
Please. Yes, that's a great idea.
So one of the things that really interested me, and we can talk about it when he gets on, is his very, very strong plank in his platform on climate change. And I was curious about why he feels so strongly about that. And it turns out when he was in the Navy, he was
a meteorologist.
Thank you. So that's a question that I haven't really had a chance to ask him yet. So it is one that I want to talk to him about why he's such a strong feelings about climate change and how that goes over in that kind of district. By the way, the district, a big part of it is in the Appalachian part of Ohio. So it's right next door, for example, to West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of times when we think about Ohio, we think about Columbus, or we think about Cincinnati or Cleveland. This isn't that kind of a district at all.
Gotcha.
This is more like you think about it when you think about West Virginia. Not all of it, but a part of it, the eastern part of it. So is Jared on with us now?
I believe he is. Jared, are you there?
I am here.
Yay.
How you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for joining us today. So Jared Christian is on with Howie Klein and me. Now, you're on the road somewhere. Where are you currently?
I'm currently on my way to Guernsey County. It's about a two-hour drive from my home on the other side of the district.
Okay.
The district that I was just talking
about.
So
I apologize if I lose you. It is very rural.
Gotcha. So we may lose you because you're out in a rural area. We may lose Howie because his battery may die. Howie, I do have your other number, so I can call you back if I need to, but okay.
You can call me on my cell. So, Jared, I wanted to ask you, I just talked a little bit Nicole was trying to get you on the phone. I talked a little bit about your district and how red it is and how difficult it is for a Democrat to run there. But, I mean, it's not like you can run in another district. This is the district you live in. But how do you run in such a red district, and how do you talk to people, and how can you get the voters interested in a Democrat?
That's an interesting question. And this district, I've lived in this district, or what is now this district, for most of my life. I'm from one side of it. I grew up in the middle, and now I live on the other side. And it comes down to, we ultimately all care about the same kind of issues, and we can hide behind culture wars and anger and what president said or did what. But the fact of the matter is, we all want clean water. We all want education. We all want our kids to lead good lives. And instead of fighting these culture wars, I'm discussing the things that people care about.
Now, I'm wondering, your URL for your website is Christian for Ohio. Was that sort of like a subliminal way to trick the Republicans into thinking you're one of them?
No, that's just my last name.
I got you.
And my first name is spelled a little, weird, so I leave it off stuff like URLs.
Right, that makes sense, because J-E-R-R-A-D, it is spelled oddly. It's not the normal spelling. So that makes sense. There are a lot of low information voters out there, and I thought, he's one of us. He's a Christian. Okay, we'll do that.
The other thing that I talked to the audience about while Nicole was trying to get you on the phone was the fact that you were a meteorologist. Thank you. And that I think that may have informed your strong feelings about climate change. And I was wondering if that is one of the topics that you can talk to people about, you know, even in rural areas like in Guernsey County, where you're going now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's a lot more recognized as an issue than people want to pretend it is. There are a lot of people on the right that want to say, nobody's going to listen. But when I speak to people that I know or that I meet on the street, a good friend of mine takes a trip to Alaska annually to go fishing. And he was talking to me about the men that drive the boats for the fishing expeditions, that they're talking about how different things have been just over the past 10 to 15 years. And yeah, I have a friend in Morgan County I spoke to who said that he was able to grow lettuce outdoor all through the winter without covering it. People are seeing these changes and they're paying attention to them a lot more than I think people want to believe.
Absolutely. And that it's good to know. I mean, that's weird that they can grow vegetables in the winter. It gets cold where you are, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, normally.
But because of the weather patterns, agriculturally, you're seeing the changes that we may not realize on just going living life day to day. You do on your website have a list of the issues that you are concerned about. And it's interesting that climate change isn't one of them that's on the website at this point.
You know, we are going to tackle climate change through issues. And the ways that I want to face these problems are through green energy initiatives. And I want to tackle multiple things with the same actions. Like here in southeastern Ohio, it was huge in the natural gas exploratory times, you know, 50, 100 years ago. And we have lots and lots and lots of abandoned orphan natural gas wells. So we can create jobs in our local economies by creating companies that cap these wells using infrastructure money passed down from the federal government. We can create clean energy jobs to install these panels and, you know, anything else that we invent as we move forward. So it doesn't, not everything has to be specifically named in the vein of climate change, but I want to approach the issues in a way that solves multiple problems at the same time.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. Have you seen the goings on in Congress lately? Do you think you can accomplish anything there?
You know, I do. I think that people are paying attention, and I believe that this pendulum is going to swing the other way. We've already seen Republicans lose the Senate, lost the presidency, and right now we all know who's causing the chaos and the inability to move anything forward. We all see it. And Republicans alike, we're not blind to the fact that these people are holding up progress in any way that they can. Mm-hmm. They've admitted out loud that they're holding up border deals. They've admitted out loud that they're intentionally stuffing budgets. And the average American doesn't want that kind of person in a leadership role.
And here you've got Troy Balderson, your congressman and your opponent, who is, you know, a kind of a Chamber of Congress kind of Republican who votes for all the MAGA stuff. Is like you never see his name as somebody who isn't going to vote for it. And I know that, you know, when it comes to abortion, you know, he tries to duck it by not talking about it. But yet, when it comes to voting, he's a sure vote always against choice. Mm-hmm. People in your district take that into account? Or are they just going to say, well, we've been voting for him all these years, we'll just vote for him again?
You know, it's interesting to think about things like that. He did just win an A+ from, I believe it was, correct me if I'm wrong, if you know, but the Susan B. Anthony Right to Life Foundation. He did just get an A+ from them, but I just sent out an email message from my campaign to people to inform them that Republicans in general have been taking off their websites, you know, that they're 100% right to life and their Christian faith requires to be so. And they're just quietly tucking it away in the corner because they see that their message and their extremism isn't as popular as they want it to be. I think that people are becoming more informed because we're getting more frustrated with the lack of action in our government. So certainly there are people who are low information voters, and there's really no way to tackle that except to continue to push out information until eventually somebody sees it by accident. But there are a great many people who care, and they care about their communities and the world that they live in, and they're paying enough attention.
I remember some time back you were interviewed by, I think it was NBC or CBS, one of the big networks. Did that run yet?
That was NBC. It has not yet run. They were dealing with the Republican Senate debates here in Ohio, and I actually just spoke to the producer a few days ago, and she and Colleen Marshall are kind of setting up their schedule for airtimes right now.
Good. I mean, that's a good way to reach a wide audience who otherwise may never have heard of you, to get on a big network show. But other than that, how are you going to reach the people, I mean, who you just referred to and who Nicole referred to as low information voters? How do you get to them and convince them that they should change their ways and not keep voting for Troy Balderson?
You know, I think that it's going to be mostly a grassroots effort. I travel as often as I can to meet these people where they are. I care enough to show up. I show up as often as I can. I discuss these issues with people. And one of my mantras has become that I have to have 100,000 uncomfortable conversations. I'm at about, I don't know, 100 or so now. But I'm working on it. And I have, like I said, I'm from this area. I grew up in poverty in southeastern Ohio in a small town called Gloucester in Athens County. These are my people. This is where I'm from. And that's what I know about the issues that they care about, is because I care about them, and I cared about them growing up. And I want to see better for them and for their children. So it's just a matter of getting out there and spreading the word.
Now, is the party behind you? How is the party dealing with you or treating you, or are they?
Well, I am a new candidate that no one has ever spoken to before. It's taken a little while to get my foot in the door, but as I progress, I'm being taken significantly more seriously. I talk to the chair of the ODP all the time. He lives in my county. Very nice guy, Andre Washington. And as things tick up after the primary season, I'm sure I'm going to get reached out to a lot more. With Sherrod Brown's campaign, Sherrod is running for re-election in Ohio, and I'll be speaking to his campaign more after the primaries as well.
Okay. Someone in the chat room asked if Akron was in your district. I see it is not. I'm putting up on the screen the map of the district, and I see all the counties. And again, I'm not, I don't know a whole lot about Ohio, but I don't recognize any of these names. Are there any?
In the district. I mean, it's a big, huge, sprawling district, and it doesn't have a lot to do with each other, the different areas. Some of it is suburban, near Columbus, but mostly it's just this big, giant, rural area. And again, like, no cities. So that's why it would be such a red district.
On that note, as we see population growth throughout the eastern half of Delaware County that's within 12, Licking County, Fairfield County, they're seeing population increases. Licking being the most populous county within district.
Okay, you kind of broke up on us there. I'm actually looking at the
housing.
Oh, there you are. Now you're back. It's spotty cell coverage out where you are. We had a little glitch in there. We're speaking with Jared Christian. He is running for Congress from Ohio's District 12. I just put up the map. I'm looking on the website. You've got, if I can bring this picture up, a lovely family. First of all, there's a picture of you, what I'm guessing your wife and your kid, another you and a child at in the snow at a ball game, I'm guessing, and another of you in uniform. You were in the Navy?
Yes. My first couple years in the Navy, I worked as a flight deck fueler on an aircraft carrier during Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom.
Oh, wow.
My last 3 years, I became a meteorologist and an oceanographer.
Wow. And did I see, pardon me if I'm asking something that we probably shouldn't, but I look when Howie told me you were coming on, I started Googling you and stuff. Do you do modeling?
Yeah, I used to. I've done modeling and commercials. I was in a movie once with Bruce Willis back in 2018.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
That's got to be difficult to do from a rural area in Ohio to be in a movie, I would guess. You know, to be casted.
There was a time when actually quite a few movies, even the Avengers and things, got filmed here in Ohio around Cleveland.
Well, you look like, yes, you could model. I mean, and someone in the chat room said, oh, he's a good looking guy.
Thank you. Thanks.
Hey, if you got it, you know, flaunt it. So and in politics, being photogenic and telegenic certainly doesn't hurt. Will there be a debate between you and the incumbent, or is it too early? You need to win the primary first.
Well, there's no one else in the primary. He's the candidate.
Oh, there's no one else, huh?
Nope, just me. But, you know, so I've never met Troy Balderson, but that kind of stands as a fact for most people from the district. He's that guy who he doesn't show up. So I don't know if we'll have a debate, hopefully eventually, but there's nothing scheduled at the moment.
Okay. Well, I guess the challenge now, since it is a big sprawling district, is getting out there and, like you said, meeting people. And that's an expensive undertaking, traveling around the district and getting the message out there. So how's the fundraising going?
So far, so good. I mean, there's never a time when it feels like enough. I think that's probably true of every campaign ever. But I'm here for it. And, you know, growing up in poverty, I've learned to budget really well. And, you know, I've built a pretty decent life for myself. So I'm not opposed to taking care of the issues that I need to take care of personally. I'm still working full time to make sure that the campaign doesn't have to pay me. And I'd rather, you know, take that stress on myself personally than stress the campaign finances. So, So far, so good.
Good. What made you finally decide to jump in? I mean, it can't be an easy decision to decide I'm going to run for Congress. What made you do it?
You know, I guess to put it simply, I got tired of waking up angry. I got tired of waking up sad, and I got tired of waking up scared for my son's future. And I wanted something better for him and for everyone else. So I figured since nobody else is doing it, here I go.
Great. You know, Ohio is an interesting state. You got Sherrod Brown, who's up again for re-election this year.
And winning. You know, I just saw a poll today. No matter who the Republicans put up, Sherrod Brown is ahead of all of them.
Oh, I'm glad to hear. I like Sherrod Brown.
He's going to crush it.
Good.
Yeah, he's going to crush it.
Good. And I saw that some old Dennis Kucinich is trying to run for his old seat again. Do you know about that?
Yeah,
weird.
I do not know.
Yeah. Well, you know, more power to him, I guess. I guess that's democracy. If you want to run, you run. Dennis, you know.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's a good thing. All right. So you are now officially endorsed by the Blue America PAC, so that hopefully will help put some funds in your campaign coffers as well. But people can find out more about you and can donate and volunteer. ChristianForOhio.com is the website. What else should they know about you that we haven't touched on?
You know, I'm glad to be here. It's not something that I ever really expected to do, but the time was right, and I'm here for it.
You know, Ohio just passed a constitutional amendment protecting women's choice. And the Republicans fought it very, very hard, but it won anyway. Is choice becoming more of an issue in your district?
So, interestingly, I looked at the precinct level data for issues one and two. Issue one being reproductive freedom. Issue two being recreational marijuana.
Yeah.
Within District 12 proper, issue one failed by only 248 votes.
Wow.
Issue two passed by over 10,000. So it is, the margins were very close on issue one. And, you know, that's a really incredibly divisive topic for a lot of people. but I'm glad to say that it won in Ohio as a whole. And I think that there are enough people getting out to vote in 12 that whether they agree with issue one or not, they still may approve of, you know, making sure we have clean water, clean air, education funding, things like that. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, things that just seem common sense to me, for sure. You know, it depends where you are geographically. And it blows my mind that women's reproductive rights is not a slam dunk in every district. But I do think it may be one of the key issues that propels the Democrats to, as Howie and I discussed last week, to another blue wave in November.
That's exactly right. Yes.
I hope so.
It wins every time on the ballot.
And it's been for, you know, for years. And hopefully it will again this year. All right. Howie, you got anything else?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Jared about Balderson's weak points. I mean, the only way you're going to win is by him losing. Is there anything that... is there anything about him that the people in the district don't like and might react against?
So one of his claims to fame in the district is that he inherited, he grew up with money, which most people in District 12 did not do. His father owned a car dealership, which he and his brother later inherited. They drove it to the ground, and there was a big scandal where I believe the issue was they sold cars that they didn't pay for, and those cars ended up getting repossessed from the blue-collar people that bought the cars from them by the original company. So there was a lot of trouble around that, and that was while he was in office. Troy Balderson is a career politician. He grew up with money. He inherited a business from his father. He was in the Ohio House for 10 years. He's been in this position for 5 years. And when I look at the regions that he's been in charge of, the same type of person has been in charge for 70 or 100 years, and nothing has ever gotten better. So his weakness is that he doesn't seem to care about the job he has. He is 100% pro-life, and he doesn't show up. Nobody knows who he is. You know how many people I ask, hey, you know, who are you running against? I'm like, Troy Balderson. They're like, who's that?
Wow. Wow. So your challenge is getting people to know who you are so they know your name and they don't know his. They see your name on the ballot and they're like, that's the guy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's politics.
That's right.
101, I guess. Retail politics, which you have to do. Howie said physically, Ohio... borders like Kentucky, and I'm so geographically challenged, but your district is a very rural part of Ohio, as we've talked about. It's sprawling. So you got your work cut out for you. I christianforohio.com. I'm liking everything I'm hearing.
Thank you.
All right, Howie, anything else?
No, but we should tell people where they can donate to Christian's campaign.
Well, you can do it at christianforohio.com. You can also go to downwithtyranny.com/blue-america-pack. And I'll put a link along with today's show. But you go to downwithtyranny.com and click on, I think there's a button there for Blue America. There should be if there isn't. And you can.
There is up in the right corner.
There you go. So two good ways to do it. Of course, we need to do another primer on Blue America because it's been a while. But Blue America, run by Howie Klein, Digby, and John Amato. The money, it just goes to support the candidates that they've endorsed. There's no overhead. There's nothing skimmed off the top to pay you guys. The money goes directly to the candidates to support their candidacy, right? Am I stating that right?
Yeah, well, we encourage people to donate directly to the candidates. So when you go to Blue America PAC, there's a list of candidates and you can give to all of them, or you can give to one of them or two of them. You make up your own mind. It doesn't go to Blue America and then us distribute it. It just goes directly
from the donor to the candidate. That's the way we like it to be.
Yep. As it should be. And not enough PACs do it that way. So Blue America is a good one if you want to find great progressive candidates to support and do it through their platform. It's a good way to do it. Jared, very nice to meet you. Best of luck. And you know, anything we can do to help, let us know.
I appreciate that. It was great speaking with you. Thank you for having me on.
You as well. You take care.
Good luck in Guernsey County tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Howie, real quick. Joni Mitchell, nominated for a Grammy and at 80 years old, Sunday night is going to perform at the Grammys for the first time.
And she's doing a live show at, I don't remember if it was the Greek. It's one of those outdoor arenas.
Oh,
like,
man.
Coming up in the spring. I was shocked to see that.
Wow. I want to go. It's on my list of things I want to do. But I'll watch the Grammys for the first time in a lot of years because Joni Mitchell is performing.
It's amazing.
It really is. Also, one last thing. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Taylor Swift. Did you ever think that it would be Taylor Swift who would make Trump's head explode?
No, I didn't know that Taylor Swift really existed, to tell you the truth. I didn't know anything about her.
Really?
I didn't know her music. I didn't know what genre she was in. I know she's a giant star, but I wasn't aware of her. Now, of course, I'm very aware of her, and thanks to Trump.
Yes. Yes. So he's only succeeded in making her even more popular.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, yeah, she's already gigantic. She's like gigantic, but still most people didn't know who she was.
Well, a lot of people only had heard of her and didn't really know much about her.
And she's becoming, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's right.
And Trump is saying he's more popular than she is. Well, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Oh, look, more power to... I actually saw her in concert once. When Allison was maybe 11, she wanted to see Taylor Swift. And I knew the label for the opening act when she played in Fort Lauderdale. So I got tickets through them and we went and saw Taylor Swift, and she put, you know, not my kind of music, but she put on a good show. And that was, you know, that was a dozen years ago or so already. And now she's a superstar. So
I wrote about her. I don't know if it's up on my blog or not, but I wrote a story for today. If it's not up already, it'll be up soon.
It is up. Yeah.
Oh, it is up. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good one. It's interesting. You know, look, I wasn't a Taylor Swift fan before. I am now. and I'll root for Kansas City in the Super Bowl just for the hell of it.
Same with me. Yeah. Exactly the same.
All right. Howie, I'm not going to be here next week because Allison is coming to town. So I'm taking a few days off. So we'll skip.
Oh, great. She's coming to visit you in Arizona. How's she doing?
She's doing great. She is now 24. And I'm hoping she'll love it out here and want to move. So she's coming out to visit for a week. So I'm taking the days that she's here off. So I'll talk to you the following week.
Wonderful. Okay. I'll speak to you then.
Okay. Thanks so much. Howie Klein, again, visit downwithtyranny.com and click on the Blue America PAC button and look at all the candidates that they've endorsed. And we will we'll talk to more of them as the season wears on. All right. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, Friday, Empty Wheel Friday, Marcy Wheeler will be here. And yeah, that's it. Have a great one, everyone. Peace out.